Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. We'll be at a blessed first week of Advent. Here we are. We're standing between, we're living and journeying between the two comings of Jesus, the first time he came as a lamb to lay down his life for the sake of the salvation of the world, to make his life a perfect offering to God the Father on our behalf. And the beautiful passage from Hebrews says he entered into the sanctuary on our behalf. That's what he was raised from the dead, and he was taken up into glory. And in the person of Jesus, human flesh, the new creation began, and humanity itself in Jesus, the new humanity, was taken into the holy place and the glory of God. And that's our destiny. And that's clear reading the New Testament. You just see how the letters of the apostles and others, you just see that eternal perspective, the realization that we're headed for glory, we're destined for the most spectacular fulfillment of our purpose and destiny. And we can see it through faith, through eyes of faith, and we can be confident about it with a living hope that's been poured into our hearts through the love of God and the Holy Spirit, that what we see in Jesus, what we see the destiny in the place where he is, what he's established for us, we can celebrate. And so it can be a source of tremendous strength for us in this life, which is so important. And I think faith, hope, and love, the great theological virtues, are the life-changing powers and graces that we're given to live in an entirely different way, in a renewed way, as children of God in a world, no matter what condition that world is in any given time in history, to have the tremendous confidence, conviction, clarity, consolation, and the knowledge of who we are, what's been accomplished for us, and where our lives are headed. What a glorious thing. And so Advent is the beginning of the new year and the new church year. And the church reflects on, and we'll touch on in these next 4 weeks here that we're in the midst of, is the reality of the comings of Christ. He came again the first time as a lamb, but he's coming again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And so I want to read some paragraphs from the Catechism today to help us kind of see what the gaze of the church, the mind, the heart of the church, and what the Holy Spirit wants to help us lay hold of, and to have these realities animating our mind and our heart as we walk out our faith in challenging times like the ones we're living in. There's a paragraph 675 in the Catechism that talks about the church's ultimate trial. It says, before Christ's second coming, the church must pass through a final trial that will shake the faith of many believers. The persecution that accompanies her pilgrimage on earth will unveil the mystery of iniquity in the form of a religious deception offering an apparent solution to their problems at the price of apostasy from the truth. The supreme religious deception is that of the Antichrist, a pseudo-messianism by which man glorifies himself in place of God and his Messiah come in the flesh. So this is right, essentially right from the scripture. The church gets this, and it's just communicating to us the reality that before the return of the Lord, a final battle is going to take place. The enemy's going to, one last shot, he's going to try to destroy the church, which he won't be able to do. And the battle is going to lead people. It's going to be great deception. And this Antichrist is going to have a great deal of power to deceive. And many people are going to apostatize. They're going to walk away from the faith. So it is interesting, and we've talked about it here in this program, and not just us, but many others have talked about it. It's pretty amazing to think that some of the key things that Jesus communicated would need to happen, or the saints or the apostles told us would need to happen before the Lord's return, like the gospel going to all the nations. You think about what technology is allowed to have happen, how globally nearly every tribe and language now has had access to, at some level, the presentation of the gospel. Only the Lord knows how far that's gone or what the timing is on that, but he did say that will have to happen before he returns. And also the biblical understanding that Israel, that has been exiled since the destruction of the temple, would return to Israel. And we're seeing that now. And that before the Lord's return, that Paul says in Romans that all of Israel will receive its Messiah. Now, what all means has been debated by theologians. I don't really want to touch on that right now, but the point is, what we see in Israel right now. One of the things that's very interesting is obviously the majority of Jews, for the first time, the majority of the Jews in the world are living in Israel for the first time in 2,000 years. There's like somewhere between like 13 and 15 million Jews in the world, and between 7 and 8 million, are, if I have it right, are living in Israel. And so prior to that, prior to the Second World War, the majority of Jews were living in Europe. And then after the Second World War, the majority of Jews in a particular country were living in the United States, and now the majority are living in Israel. And at the time when Israel became a state, one of the things that historians have looked at now is to say how many Jewish people who were living in Israel at the time were believers in Messiah, in Jesus, accepted Jesus as Messiah. And there's like a small handful, if any. And as time went on, slowly more and more Jewish people became believers in Jesus to the point where now there's almost 30 to 35,000 Jewish people, some born and raised in Israel, who actually believe that Jesus is the Messiah and they've given their lives to him. And so that's a very interesting thing. Those three realities of both the apostasy that's going to take place before the return of the Lord, the spreading of the gospel throughout the world, and the return of the Jews to Israel. And the apostasy, which is implied here in this paragraph of the catechism, large portions of people are going to get seduced. Baptized people are going to be deceived. Religious deception is going to take hold of them. And let me read it again. It's a deception that will offer men an apparent solution to their problems, but at the price of apostasy from the truth. So there's going to be an answer. And we're living at a time, friends, when apostasy is happening more than at any time in any of our lives. More people are turning away. Baptized people are turning away from their faith. And they're following, I believe, a counter-religion, whether they see it or not, a false deception. This religious deception, it's emerging. Whether it's the final one, it certainly is emerging in our time. Pope Benedict XVI described it as an anti-Christian creed empowered by an anti-Christ spirit, he describes. So we're seeing the drama, at least, of the conflict between the kingdoms unfolding in very intense ways. And you can see the level of deception fundamentally being expressed in people believing that the way to freedom, to happiness, to life is to make a break from the traditional Christian story of reality, the biblical story of reality, and to be able to become the masters of our own destiny, to be able to define for ourselves the meaning of life and its purpose and why I'm here and all the rest. So the last line in that paragraph describes it this way. The supreme religious deception is that of the Antichrist, a pseudo-Messiah. He's a false Messiah, and he's going to lead man to glorify, and he's going to lead the way to glorify humanity on its own apart from God. And he's going to deny that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. So that kind of stuff is in the air. It's a kind of an apocalyptic moment in the midst of the shaking and the struggle that's going on in the world today. And paragraph 676 said, the Antichrist deception already begins to take shape in the world every time the claim is made to realize within history that messianic hope, which can only be realized beyond history through the eschatological judgment. There's a lot of 25-cent words in there, but he's saying this very deception, this religious deception, it can take place in different times in history when forces arise, whether they're ideological, philosophical, political forces arise with a determination to articulate that man's fulfillment is going to take place in this world, in this way. The Marxists did that, right? Communism is that way. That communism is the battle between the two forces. It's a materialistic worldview. There is no heaven, ultimately. There's no spiritual world. We don't have a spiritual or eternal destiny in that kind of way. But there's forces at work, you know, originally Marxist economic forces that are at war with each other, the bourgeois and the proletariat, and they're fighting. And eventually there's going to be the dominance of the bourgeois over the proletariat's going to be overthrown and in a revolution that's being stoked by the Marxists and others. And this kind of utopian realization, a kind of equal income, equal life, a social happy world kind of thing is going to happen. And of course, that kind of idea is emerging again in our time. It always ignores the eternal perspective because it doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in biblical revelation. It ignores the reality of original sin. And the problem of everything is out there somewhere. It was in economic structures. You fix all those, everything's going to get fixed. Now the language has changed a little bit. Now it's divided by race, sex, gender, all these kinds of things are being put out. Now the bad people are white capitalists. They're the ones who are ruining the whole world. They're racists. What we need to do is basically bring them down to, you know, cancel them, basically, to somehow again find with this struggle and these battle to overthrow the revolutionary spirit that's present, that we're going to create some kind of utopia, socialistic utopia. It's emerging again. And that's really what paragraph 676, I believe, touches on that. Again, it says the Antichrist deception already begins to take place and take shape in the world every time the claim is made to realize within history itself that messianic hope. Friends, the Catholic Church teaches very, very clearly that things will only be made right when Jesus comes again in glory to definitively establish his kingdom on the earth. Advent's a really good time to think about that, the reality of the two comings of Jesus, what we're preparing for. And Jesus told us, and the apostles did as well, be alert, be clear-headed, be sober, await the coming of the Lord. Don't let the oil go out in your lamp. Keep your lamps burning. That is, keep your heart on fire, anticipating and welcoming and awaiting and praying for the coming of the Lord. Also, when the Lord returns, the church is really clear about the reality of the final judgment. Paragraph 679 said, Christ is Lord of eternal life. This is what's on offer. Jesus is offering humanity its only way out of eternal death. He comes to bring divine eternal life, and he wants to give us a share in it. This is why the church exists, and the church is meant to animate and be an instrument through which God's life comes to people, to a race of people who are dying. It goes on to say, full right to pass definitive judgment on the works and hearts of men belongs to him, that is Jesus, as Redeemer of the world. He acquired this right by his cross. Jesus acquired the right to have judgment over all through his death on the cross, the faithful witness who returned to the Father. And the Father gave over to him the authority. He's the head now of all of creation. All was made for him and by him. It goes on to say, the Father has given all judgment to the Son. Yet the Son did not come to judge, but to save and to give the life he has in himself. What a beautiful line. What did Jesus come for? To give the life that human beings don't have in themselves, but that he has in himself. This is what we need. This is what Christianity is all about, is through repentance, baptism, faith, and entering the church, your sacramental life and the Word of God, this is how it's received. By rejecting grace in this life, a person already judges oneself, receives according to one's works, and can even condemn oneself for all eternity by rejecting the spirit of love. So the stakes are very high. The eternal consequences are real. And so the church reminds us, paragraph 680, Christ the Lord already reigns through the church, but all the things of this world are not yet subjected to him. The triumph of Christ's kingdom will not come about without one last assault by the powers of evil. We're certainly living through a time of strong assault from the kingdom of darkness. Is this the last one? I don't know. But there's stuff Jesus wants us to learn about how to walk through these kinds of tribulations and trials and to be a light, because we're called to be a light just like him. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. Hope you can join me. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.